In the theme of joy and in the book of Isaiah, I'm going to focus tonight on the word from Isaiah chapter 55. Of course, in this season of Advent, I've been moving through different parts of Isaiah, but looking again tonight at kingdom joy from Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, eat, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you did not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your ways. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Father, we are at your mercy, but we are found within your joy, joy in this kingdom of yours, because you have sent your Son and you have brought great joy into this sinful and fallen world, Lord, of which we are a part. You well know that, but you have made a way for us to find joy in all that we do, traversing through this world. You have given us the peace of the very Christ child, the peace of your very own, the joy that comes from knowing you as holy God. Lord, we ask, Lord, that the hearing of these words would fall on all of us so that we would be obedient and find joy in that obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. It has been said that joy is the product of obedience. That seems to make a lot of sense when you think about being a part of God's kingdom, doesn't it? He has created his beings, his human beings. He created us to be obedient to him. Now that backfired, but not really. Not according to his plan. He knew that was going to happen. As we look at it, it backfired because Adam listened to his wife. He's the one that took the initiative. They sinned against God, and therefore we have sin in the human race. And we know that. But oh, the joy that this prophet was speaking of here. God's great desire is that his created beings be obedient to him. And that not only brings him great joy, but it also is what he expects to be the norm for his disciples. Obedience is the norm for his disciples. So when we listen to these words of the prophet Isaiah, it is as if God told his readers, listen intently to me. I have the answer for you. You need me to live. My word produces life. You will find joy in me. Without me, you will have no life. Without me, you have no pardon. Without my word, you have no purpose. Without me, you have no joy. Just a few chapters later, the prophet says, be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. God created his people to be a joy to himself. He created us to find joy in him and in his kingdom. The text before us speaks to how God draws his elect to know and to receive and to live out this kingdom joy. In the first five verses of this chapter, we find our first point for this evening. Isaiah issues the challenge to know kingdom joy. The challenge is here. What is that challenge that we find in the first five verses? Isaiah is saying that salvation is available for those who answer the call to come and drink. Come and drink from the living fountain, the living water. Jesus himself is the living water, the living word. Come and be drawn to this living water. Of course, they didn't know Jesus then when he was writing. That was 600 years before Jesus came to the earth. But that's what the prophet is writing about. That day when your Messiah is going to come and offer you living water. Come and drink from this fountain of life. And guess what? There is no price. You can do nothing to earn this. It is a free gift. You cannot buy salvation. You cannot pay for entrance into glory. You and I are totally depraved, and we are unable to lift ourselves out of that depravity without this holy God. We are unable to do that. Your thirst and your hunger, he would say, are no match for my provision. And you do hunger and you do thirst. It is foolish and vain to reject the gift of free salvation. The fullness of life as God intends cannot be obtained by the efforts of sinful man. Anything that you have ever earned will ultimately bring no satisfaction. Anything. All voices except the voice of God must be tuned out. Obedience to God brings eternal rewards. He says, listen to me. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in this rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear so that your soul may live. Hear the word of God, that your soul may live. In the New Testament, John records that Jesus stood out and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. It is always God who approaches the soul of man. Listen closely. It's not the other way around. Man can only respond to what God is already doing or what he's already done. Man responds to that. God wants to reclaim your soul. He will come after you. But you need to respond to him. If you are being drawn by the love of God, how do you respond? In repentance, in humility. He will make an everlasting covenant with you. He's talking about the everlasting covenant that he made with the house of David, with David himself. He speaks of that right here. He says, I'm going to do the same thing for you. Who will hear me? Who will listen? Who will come and buy without cost? I'm going to do it for you. He will make an everlasting covenant. This is his challenge to you. I will do this if you will follow. The witness to the nations, the very witness that he speaks of here in this text, I'm going to send a witness. That's the Messiah. He's telling of the one who's going to come. This is the Messiah. He is a witness against sinners. Jesus is. He is a witness on behalf of the truth. In fact, he is the living truth. He is the leader and commander of the people of God. The Messiah will effectively call peoples to himself, according to Isaiah, that were previously not his own. They will become his people. Nations will call on the name of Jesus. They will run to him. Will you run to him? Maybe you already have, maybe you haven't. Tonight is as good as any. You can run to him and he will receive you. His challenge is there for you. Will you answer that? Will you run to him for the joy to be found in his kingdom? He is God and he cares for you. That takes us to the second one here in the text, compassion. So we've got challenge, and now we have the compassion of the Christ. You and I are not fully capable of understanding the compassion of God. He tells us through the prophet Isaiah to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. To seek here in the text is to tread or to walk or step toward God. Step toward this compassionate God while he is near, while you have the chance. Before you pass from this earth, come to know who he is. Isaiah is telling you to come. Come, step toward God. He has made himself available for you. This is not an accident. The New Testament author Paul reminds us that now is the favorable time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. A compassionate and merciful God will pardon the man or woman who truly repents and seeks forgiveness. The promise is that each one who does so, according to this text, will be abundantly pardoned. As far as the east is from the west, your sin will be erased. Abundantly pardoned. The Lord God declares that there is no association. Now listen, there is no association, no direct association between his superior and always sinless thoughts, his sinless thought, and man's inferior and often sinful thoughts and ways. There's no direct connection. You need his compassion to be able to make the jump. God's thoughts and his ways, we could put it this way, they are sovereignly efficacious. Well, what's that mean? Well, that means they will accomplish everything that God intends. He is sovereign, and he will make it the effect upon you. He will make the effect happen. He has compassion for those who will hear. They accomplish everything God intends, even if we don't totally understand how it's done. And that's our mindset. We want to know how things are done. How are you going to do that, God? You're going to have to trust and obey and put your faith in me. Pardon. He will ultimately pardon. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Oh, to be sure, God is a compassionate God who intends to abundantly pardon everyone who will accept his challenge to seek his compassion. But where will that lead us? Well, that will lead us to the third one here, confirmation. Confirmation, verses 10 and 11 that I read earlier. Isaiah speaks of the rain and the snow being absorbed by the earth to grow seeds and put forth a harvest. This is a constant global activity that we know happens. The rain and the snow and the wind and all that stuff, we well know that here. We know what it's like to be in the midst of that. It happens all day long. The joy found in the kingdom of God is undergirded by a daily confirmation of his abiding presence. Did you know God knew that it was going to be this exact temperature today here? Some people disagree with that. That's too much for God to have to figure out. Really? You better rethink that. Even the purposes of the material elements created by God will be accomplished. All those purposes of the elements that we know, possibly elements that we don't yet know, even as smart as he's allowed us to be, or as smart as we think we are, God controls all of nature. But an even greater confirmation of joy are the next words in this text. He says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish all which I purpose, and shall succeed in the very thing for which I sent it. God's spoken word will always accomplish his purpose. He spoke the universe into existence without anything to do it but his voice. You can't do that. No one can do that. Can't not create something from nothing. God's divine word always accomplishes its intended task. The elect will be saved. Judgment will come upon the unrepentant. Your life will be sustained on this earth until he determines your last breath. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That from the writer of Hebrews. God's word is discerning, sharper than a two-edged sword. God confirms who he is. He has let us know who he is. He has let everyone know who he is. Many choose not to listen or make their own plan, which then in turn is them making their own God, which is in turn an idol. Man's heart, as Calvin put it, is an idol factory. We're good at making idols. Even Christians are good at making idols. We're not immune to that. God confirms who he is. He confirms what he has done. And if you read the rest of the book, I'm thinking of Revelation, but of course over in Daniel and other places that lead into those mysteries of the end times, the eschatological times, the times that we're looking forward to when Christ will come again and beyond, those things are things that he still intends to do. It's a promise to us that that will come true. What if you read your Bible and you were able to look at something and you had the foreknowledge to say, that can't happen. Okay, we're not playing God. But if you could do that, wouldn't that kind of ruin the rest of the Bible for you? If you could look at something in there and say, that's not going to happen? Isn't it a wonderful thing of joy that we can know that what's here is true and what is prophesied will come true even if we can't understand it, and know that that's the kind of God that we serve, is that he will make it happen. He will bring it to fruition. He will bring great joy. God's confirming word brings joy to the kingdom. His confirming word gives us the strength to live day by day because we know it's true and we can go to it and say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Help me today, God. I need the strength to continue obeying your word. There's not one of us that doesn't still need that. The strength to obey his word. And then finally, we turn here in the last couple of verses to the consummation. Isn't that a great word? It's like it just all comes together. The consummation of a marriage. The consummation of something coming together. Those who live in the kingdom of God are to go out in, he says it right here, go out in the joy of God. Go out in the joy of God. We are led forth in the peace of God. A peace that passes all understanding. So in the midst of turmoil around you, you can still be in peace with God. We don't always bring ourselves to that or allow ourselves to be there, but it's there. We have too many pity parties. We have too much other things going on. We allow ourselves to be stimulated by junk. That's the best word I could figure out, kids. And it is. Things that cause us to go against God cause us, well, he doesn't cause us to sin, but we react to temptation. We are the ones who sin against him. The consummation of the kingdom joy is promised by the one whose word will never return without accomplishing its purpose. Never. The joy of the Lord God brings an absence of fear. See, we have the fear, don't we? Sometimes we start getting nervous and anxious about something that's not going our way, about something with our bodies that's just not right, something that's happening at work. We get anxious. And fear starts to come, and we're not resting in that peace. But is that God's fault? No. No. The joy of the Lord brings an absence of fear. We must rejoice that deliverance has come. Christ child has come to this earth. He has left again physically, but he will return again one day, and we have that promise. The mountains and the hills sing out with joy. All the trees of the fields will clap their hands. What a funny sight. But it's cool, isn't it? What is that like? Well, that's a recreation of the earth without its impact of the fall of man against it. Why is earth degrading? Why is it falling apart? Because it has a curse on it. But one day, that will change. The earth will groan no more. Romans 8, 22. This text speaks of a dramatic change in nature itself. This change will exist for the glory of its creator. Nature will once again exalt its creator as it was in the beginning. This sign of intervention will never fade from view again. This sign of divine intervention, God's handiwork, God's work, God's purposes being fulfilled. He says at the very end of this text that I read out of Isaiah 55, he says, there will be an everlasting sign that will never be cut off again. There's another promise. And though it will take place one day, that particular change that Isaiah speaks of here, that sign itself has not yet come in its fullness. But we have enough of the sign that's been here and left and it's coming again, the sign of Christ himself, the sign of the Messiah. And that's just it. There's another sign that has been fulfilled. Our Savior Jesus has made his first appearance on this planet. As the angel said, and as you've heard already tonight from the children, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is, say it with me, Christ the Lord. Say it again, Christ the Lord, and he is the Savior of man. Do you want to experience this kingdom joy? You must accept the challenge to allow him to be your Savior. His compassion toward you will bring that joy. His compassion toward you will bring the joy of a complete pardon, not partial pardon, a complete pardon from your sin. You will find joy in him as his word is confirmed in you. Confirmation of his word happens in us as believers as we live out his plan for our lives. Confirmed. And then we will experience the joy of the consummation. The consummation of his joy in this kingdom as it comes in all of its glory. The fullness of God. Let's go back to the 3rd century for a second and then we're almost done here. A 3rd century man was anticipating death. And as he was doing that, he penned these last words to a friend. It's a bad world. It's an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasures of our sinful lives. They are despised. They are persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are Christians, and I am one of them. Are you one of them? Are you a Christian? Are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? You are within the hearing of his word, and you have heard his word, and you have heard that today is the day of salvation, and you have heard that all I have to do is cry out. And you would know just by being here, the providence of a holy God has put you in this place tonight. You can respond with, yes, I want that. I want to be your child. I have said I was in the past, but I haven't really given my life. You can do that. Let's pray. Oh God, someone here is ready to pray that, to receive you, ready to repent and be humble. Help them in their heart to do so this very night. Help them to respond to you. And then, Lord, convict them to tell someone about it, because that's how you work. We have to tell the good news. We don't keep it inside. There's a lot of good news coming out of this place tonight. A lot of good news being spoken, being sung, being prayed. Let it never stop. Let us be truthful with you, Lord, each one of us, this very night. In Christ's name, amen.